I have rarely done series of lessons. I guess you figured out by now, or maybe you thought about it or wondered that I'm working my way through the first epistle of John. So that's what we've been doing on Sunday nights. If you would like to read ahead, go ahead. I'm not looking at every verse, every text through the letter, but I'm picking out some things that I hope will be encouraging and helpful for all of us. Our advocate is Jesus Christ, as we studied a couple of weeks ago. He is the propitiation for our sins. So in verse number 3, when he says, "Now by this we know that we know him," that I am assuming the context, him, is still talking about Jesus Christ, the righteous, the one who himself is the propitiation for our sins in verses 1 and 2. And so therefore, the title of the lesson tonight is, how can we know, or how is it that we do know for sure that we know Jesus Christ? What does it mean to know him? I do the Greek very often, but sometimes just simply point out the challenges of understanding a particular word that's used in Scripture. And in this particular place, you see the Greek word there in front of you. And I show that only because of the word I'm getting ready to show next. But it's found 208 times in the New Testament and spoken several times by Jesus and obviously also the apostles and the epistles. Strong says in his definition of words simply that to know has a great variety of applications with many implications, some not so clearly expressed, and then he gives a list of the ways the word is translated in the King James, at least. When I use Strong's and it, I could click on the word, the Greek word, and it'll show me all the passages where it's used. It happens to use the King James. And so these are the ways it's translated in that text. It can be translated allow, to be aware or be aware of, to feel, to know, knowledge, or to have knowledge, to perceive or perceived, to be resolved, to speak, or to be sure, or to understand. Now, did that help you understand? Well, it's clear that this is one of those words that context helps us determine the meaning at the time the New Testament writer speaks it or uses it. And I think tonight, as we study this question and this business of knowing Jesus, which is something that every one of us wants to do, we want to know him. And when we think of the word know, we think of a word that, used the illustration before. I know some people, but there's other people I know. Somebody may ask you, do you know them? And you say, well, no, not really. You know them, but you don't. So sometimes the word takes on a deeper sense, involves a feelings, it involves a relationship in which I know someone at a deeper level. I know more about them than I do others. And I could list others, and you could list some of your folks that you know, but you have some friends that you know particularly well. And if somebody would say to you, do you know them? You would say yes, because you have a relationship with those. And there's probably a very healthy line of communication going on between that friend of yours. And so you know them. You know what's in their heart. You know what they think. You know what they feel. And so therefore you have a relationship with them. The word know, for example, is used when speaking of Joseph after Mary had become pregnant, expecting Jesus, that he did not know her, Matthew 1:25, until she had brought forth her firstborn son. And that is obviously used, and it's the same Greek word we looked at here, that's used in a text where the intimacy of marriage is in view. And so in that text, and that doesn't mean that meaning transfers over to every other place, but it does let us know that the word can have a very strong meaning. When I say strong, I mean, in that sense, the closest intimacy that can be had between two people who love and are devoted to each other, God uses that word. And so when we think about knowing Jesus, I think we can imply that it is about the business of knowing Him on an intimate level, a deeper level, if you will, than we would know anyone else. In Mark 5, and I think this is the only time the word felt is used, in Mark 5:29, the woman that had touched the hem of the garment of Jesus and was healed, she felt in her body that she was healed. Felt, the Greek word you see there on the screen. The same word used in 1 John 2, to know Jesus. And so in that sense, there can be feelings involved. You can imagine when we could easily read that by saying she knew in her body that she was healed. But on that occasion, she just obviously would have felt differently when she was healed, just as any of us would. When the sickness is taken away, we obviously feel better. Now, having said all of that, does let us know that it is a word of variety of meanings, but it doesn't help us as much as reading the rest of this text will help us to answer the question, what does it mean to know Jesus? I am going to spend just a moment, not very much. I've got two or three things to say about it in the rest of the lesson here pretty soon, really. And that is, you can see the word Gnostic. Can you see it in the Greek word? It's actually a transliteration, if you will, of that Greek term. And we've heard of Gnosticism, and most of us preachers, when we study 1 John with folks in a Bible class, think we have to talk about Gnosticism. And I think most of us are going on. I'm not sure I care about all of that very much. But it helps to understand a little bit what was going on in the first century when John wrote these things, and that there were some folks who just had come to believe that they had a special knowledge about Jesus. That somehow they knew Him in some special way through some special revelation. They needed to hear these words. The ISBE, the International Standard Bible Encyclopedia, says that Gnosticism, or described it thusly, the intellectual pride of the Gnostics refined away the gospel into a philosophy. And what I understand that to mean is for them to try to wrap their mind around the idea, the very facts of the story, and that is that Jesus lived, died, buried, and was raised. They just couldn't wrap their mind around that, so they came up with some other theories, and the story of the gospel became some philosophy mixed in with a lot of strange pagan ideas on occasions. But for us, it's not about a philosophy as much as it is about a story, a gospel story, which is a fact upon which we base our faith. And the Gnostics wrestled with that. They tried to figure out, well, how can Jesus be God in the flesh? And we wrestled with that too. It's a great mystery, Jesus, Paul said to Timothy in 1 Timothy 5. God became flesh. We make it more complicated than it is. And I think the Gnostics did that. I think pride was involved. But instead of just realizing the story is true, He was a man. Really lived, really died. Flesh and blood, gave His life. And then flesh and blood raised from the grave as a testimony to the love of God. And a miracle that demonstrated once and for all that this was the Christ, that He's the Christ. I think when we think we've come to know God in some way that others have not, or are incapable of actually being able to know Him, that we need to hear these words as well. And that's the words of John chapter 2, 3 and 5. Again, I say to us, we want to. I'm speaking to you and me as children of God tonight, my brothers and sisters in Christ, that you want to know Jesus. In fact, I would dare say that every one of you wants to know Him better than you know anybody else. I hope that's true. This is my Lord. This is my Savior. This is my King. This is the one who loved me and gave Himself for me. This is the one I want to know. I want to know everything I can about Him. I want to grow in the knowledge of Jesus. I want to know Him at an intimate level. I want to know Him as deeply as possible. I want to know Him and have a relationship with Him that I have with no other. I want to know that I know Him, and I want to know that He knows me. And I understand that is about a relationship with Jesus Christ. And it absolutely is biblical for us to think about having a relationship with Him. But now here's the key. How can I know that I know Jesus? It's what the text says. Let's take the mysticism out of it for a moment. Let's take the wonder, let's take the confusion out of it for a moment and just let John speak to us. Now by this we know that we know Him if we keep His commandments. If I say I know Him and I don't keep His commandments, I am a liar. The truth is not in me. But if I keep His word, which would be synonymous to keeping His commandments, then the love of God is perfected in me. There's a maturing going on that John will talk about more in this letter, and especially in chapter 4. By this we know that we are in Him. He who says he abides in Him, should have read that too. He who says he abides in Him ought himself also to walk just as He walked. Are you keeping His commandments? That's the key to knowing Jesus. Now let's build on that. We're not talking about just doing it with, not doing it from the heart. We must do that. What kind of effect does keeping the commandments have on our character? On us, who we are, and what effect does it have on the relationship that we have with Jesus. But let's make some things very clear. Peter wrote in 2 Peter 3 and verse 2 about the commandments of us, the apostles of the Lord and Savior. Paul wrote in 1 Thessalonians 4 and verse number 2, you know what commandments we gave you through the Lord Jesus. Again, we are affirming and need to affirm loudly and firmly and boldly and strongly that the apostles wrote the commandments of Jesus. If you want to know Jesus, then you need to know the writings of Peter and Paul and James and John. We cannot know Jesus unless we listen to the ambassadors who spoke for Him. Leading proponents, Dan King wrote in his Truth Commentary on 1 John, leading proponents of Gnosticism claimed a direct line to God, minimizing the significances of apostolic tradition, that means the teaching of the apostles given, handed down to them by the Lord, and their witness. The minimizing of that. Listen to me. That's happening today. I've demonstrated in previous lessons the very fact that the writings of the apostles are not being treated with a great high degree of respect is a demonstration of a people who don't know Jesus like they ought to know Him. As one quote I read recently, a woman that's part of a community church, she began to see their teaching drift more and more away from the text, more away from the scripture. And she said, one person said to her one day, well, I just don't agree with Paul on that subject. Excuse me? I didn't know you were the choice of whether or not you agreed with Paul or not. We do agree with Paul because we listen to him say to us, he wrote the commandments of the Lord. We can know and understand the Word of God. Paul said, I have written these things, and when you read them, you can understand the knowledge that's been given to me. No secret, no special ability. Not even, as I addressed a few weeks ago in the Holy Spirit and His work, not even any special work of the Spirit helping us to understand the message. Paul said when you read it, you can understand it. You can know the will of the Lord. We obey His will. When we do that, we keep His word. His truth is not in us when we know Him, when we say we do, but we're not obeying Him. We can know that we are in Christ when we keep His word. We can call him Lord all day long, but Jesus has made it very clear that if we do not do the will of his Father, that we are not even in his kingdom. Matthew chapter 7. And in turn, he says to those who say, Lord, Lord, but don't do the things which the Father teaches, he says that he will say to them, catch this, I never knew. Guess what word? The word we're looking at. I never knew you. I don't know who you are. We're not in a relationship here. You can stand before me and say, Lord, Lord, look at all the wonderful things I've done in your name. And Jesus says, I don't know who you are. And the reason why is because they didn't keep the commandments of Jesus. We don't need to know Jesus some special way apart from the revelation of the text. When we are listening to what he's already said, then we can know Jesus. This passage in 1 John, by the way, is not primarily, hang on to this for a moment, is not primarily about how we feel about Jesus. It is about whether or not we are listening to Jesus and obeying his commands. Now, I said hang on for a minute. I'm not going to leave feelings out of this, and you'll see that as we get toward the end of the lesson. I'm going to make some observations about the effect of keeping the commandments on us who we are. I thought of this passage in John 10 when Jesus described himself as the good shepherd. And the good shepherd, as John writes, Jesus speaking actually, let's go back over there and look. I'm going to take a look at a couple, three passages. John chapter 10 and verse 14. I am the good shepherd. I know my sheep. And I'm known by my own. My sheep know me and I know them. Beautiful picture. But it's a picture of sheep saying to the shepherd, you lead us by the still waters. You take us out to the pastures. You take us to the fold. We can't get there on our own. You lead us. We're going to follow your words, follow your teaching. That's what sheep do. He's the good shepherd. He knows us and we know him. In verse 27, my sheep hear my voice, chapter 10 of John, and I know them and they follow me. Jesus knows his sheep because they listen to him. They hear his voice and they follow him. They follow his instructions. Come back in verse 15. As the Father knows me, even so I know the Father. And I lay down my life for the sheep. How do we know Jesus knew the Father? How do we know that? Because he kept his Father's word, John 8 and verse 55. The same way we can know that we have Jesus. So if communication is the key to any relationship, and it is, are we listening to him? We have been commanded. We have been commanded to be baptized. Peter taught Cornelius and his household. He commanded them to be baptized. Baptism is a commandment of Jesus. If I want to know Jesus, I will submit to baptism. Jesus taught the apostles, and the apostles taught other Christians, and Paul taught the Corinthians that we ought to eat the Lord's Supper, that we ought to break bread, we ought to eat and drink the cup, the fruit of the vine, to remember what he did for us at Calvary. We're commanded to eat the Lord's Supper with other Christians, and we're commanded by example of doing that on the first day of every week. We're commanded, as Paul gave charge to the Corinthians, as he gave to the Galatians as well, to take up a contribution, to take up means of which we can do certain works that have been authorized by Jesus, things that he wants local churches to do. We are commanded to conduct our assemblies as Paul taught the Corinthians in 1 Corinthians 14, particularly as it pertains to the roles of women in assemblies. Paul, after saying some things about women being silent in the assemblies, said, you can think yourself to be spiritual, but please acknowledge that I am writing to you the commandments of the Lord. You need to understand that. And a person is not listening to Paul there or other places, is not listening. We're commanded to sing. Yes, we should want to do these things. I understand that it's not a matter of just doing them by rote. We're doing it from the heart. But our heart is open to Jesus and we're listening to Jesus. And he's telling us, do these things. And so we engage in them wholeheartedly. We sing psalms and spiritual songs and hymns, Colossians 3:16. That's not all the commandments of the Lord. I've been commanded as a husband to love my wife. Wives are commanded to be subject and obedient to their husbands. Fathers are commanded to teach and train their children. Children are commanded to obey their parents. If I want to know Jesus, I'm going to listen to that teaching and I'm going to do what the Lord asks. I'm going to obey the employers. I'm going to obey government officials, even when they're not what they ought to be, 1 Peter chapter 2. I am commanded to put off the works of the flesh, Galatians chapter 5. I'm commanded to put on the fruit of the Spirit, to bear the fruit of the Spirit, Galatians chapter 5, as you'll study Wednesday night. I'm commanded to put off the old man and to put on the new man, Colossians chapter 3. And summing all of that up simply is that all that the Lord has specifically taught me or has shown me by example are things that ought to be obeyed. If I'm saying to the Lord, I want to know you, he's saying, Lee, listen to me. Listen to my instructions. Listen to my teaching and submit to that teaching, please. We receive his teaching as a word, his word, as coming from someone who taught with authority. And he could teach that way because he has all authority. You want to know Jesus? John makes it this simple. Keep his commandments. Now, let me add a couple things to the, not add to the text, let me add to the idea that we're talking about. I do believe that the purpose of God and his commands is us doing what he asks, so that we can recognize some qualities of God, even though we're never going to be God, in our efforts to be like Jesus by submitting to his commands, helps us to relate to him. And I'm going to say this very carefully. It may even help us to know what it felt like for Jesus to be here on this earth serving his Father. And in that sense, there are some feelings involved. Let me go through some things with you. When you and I pray to God and pray to him through Jesus as we're commanded and instructed, I sometimes find it hard to say we're commanded to pray. Sometimes we need to be told to pray more than we've been praying. Pray without ceasing. We're given instructions that we ought to pray. We ought to do that. But praying to God through Jesus and getting no for an answer helps us to know Jesus. The last thing we want is a yes to every prayer we ever pray. It's the last thing we want. Because we'll never be what we ought to be. We'll be a bunch of spoiled children. I've said that in a previous lesson, enough of that. But when God says no to us and it hurts, but we know we've got to press on and do something that he's asked us, commanded us to do, that we don't want to do, and we do it, we for a moment have just a taste of what it was like for Jesus to be in the Garden of Gethsemane. Then at that moment I get to know Jesus. When we have taught someone for 3.5 years, hoping they're listening, hoping they're going to make some changes, and wake up on a Sunday morning to learn that they have taken their life, then you will know Jesus at a level that you've never known him before. When we teach others and we see them obey the gospel with joy, and yet some point in their lives they depart from the faith, we'll know Jesus. Caleb introduced this point on Wednesday night. When you and I decide to be a parent, decide to have children, when you decide to have the joys, the pains, the anxieties, the worries, the concerns, the prayerfulness, the sleepless nights, and you will never stop caring, then you'll get to know God a little bit. People well before me have said that they have come to realize when they became a parent what it's like for God to have them as a child. And how much there were times we caused God some angst in his heart. When we love others and that love is not returned, you will know Jesus. When you return good for evil and you forgive others, you will know Jesus. When you and I do good to others and they're not thankful or appreciative, and we know they're not because they don't say anything, they're 9 out of 10 healed lepers that did not turn around and come back and tell Jesus, thank you, then you will know Jesus. When you and I spend time with lepers and sick folk and sinners and tax collectors and the like, then you'll know Jesus. When we suffer temptation, when we struggle mightily with temptation, when the devil is harassing us in all points, and yet we're fighting and we're resisting, you get to know a little bit about Jesus in the wilderness. When we simplify our lives and learn to be content with food and clothing, then we will get to know Jesus. When we worship amidst all the distractions, all the detractors, when the people we're worshiping with are wondering who's going to be greatest in the kingdom, and when someone is sitting at the table eating the supper with us, thinking about when they're going to betray us, and we can still say that I wanted to eat this Passover with you and longed to do it and desired to do it, and I believe did it with a full heart. When we learn to worship that way, then we get to know Jesus. And I close simply by saying, the more and more focused on spiritual things we become, the more we will know about Jesus. You want a relationship with Jesus? Start doing what he says and see what happens. Don't start waiting for the relationship to overwhelm you with these feelings of, oh, he loves me. Get down to do the hard work. Get down to do the work of serving. Get down to do the work of obedience and submission. Take your will and bow it before him and say, none of mine, all of yours. And then we get to know him a little bit more, because that's exactly what he did in the presence of his Father on this earth. These are exciting passages to me because they are so simple. It's so plain. The Gnostics messed it all up. And John comes back and said, listen, folks, I'm going to tell you how you can know him. Keep his commandments. And that's the principle that needs to ring loudly in our hearts whenever we stop to think, what does it mean to know Jesus? If you and I are not answering that question with this text, then we are answering it in a way that's different than what the Bible tells us. But now listen to me. And if all that sounds kind of hard, incredible joys. Incredible joy of a connection with Jesus comes when we experience whatever we experience as we serve and obey Him. But it doesn't come. Anything besides keeping commandments is superficial. Made up, make believe, dreamed up in some Gnostic mind. But when I understand that if I just simply listen to Him and strive to serve Him and obey Him, then I get to know Him. God's asked us to do some hard things. And when we start doing those hard things, then we'll find some of the greatest joy I believe we can ever experience. And I know it's going to be fulfilled ultimately in heaven. So my closing remark to you tonight, do you want to know Jesus? And I'm simply going to say to you, obey His commands. If you're not a Christian, you know what you ought to do. Why not? Why not submit tonight? Why not repent of your sins? Why not confess your faith? Why not be baptized for the remission of your sins? And when you do that, you'll rise to walk in newness of life, and you'll find a Jesus that's there waiting for you to get to know Him and to know Him better. And the more you listen to Him and submit your will to Him, you will know Him at a level that you never realized you could. And I hope that's what we all strive for as we stand and as we sing.